You are now tuned in to VAR Sports Media. We are ending your week off the right way with a Football Friday, another week of draft prospect positional breakdown with you guys here on VAR Sports Media. This week, we're moving on to the real athletes on the field, the real game breakers, the real difference makers. I'm talking about that defensive and offensive line. And we're going to throw a little bit of tight end in there as well. And if you guys listen to United Football Media, you'll know that my background, I played center for many years, played a little bit H-back as well. So, and on the other side of the ball, played defensive end. So a lot of personal soft spot in my heart for this whole crew. Got Tay. I got the coach Jeff Axel riding with me tonight. Which side of the ball, Tay, which side of the ball you want to start, man? You want to start offensive line or defensive line?
We can go offensive line.
Yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to do too, because this is going to maybe end up being up there in one of the best offensive line classes that we have ever seen. The aggregate of all of the major scouting services along with PFF have come together. Your average projected, like, decent NFL starter usually gets a prospect score of 85 and above. In this class, there are 16 players with a grade of 85 and above for the offensive line. Unprecedented. We're still going to be getting projected day one NFL starters into the third round on the offensive line. Just amazing. It also includes 10 guys with an overall aggregate score of 87 plus, which is usually, you know, top end starter, one of the better players on your line, possible Pro Bowler, 10 plus guys. So basically, you know, if you need a lineman, 49ers, you're going to have an opportunity to draft a projected upper echelon lineman in the first round. Like, you will have that chance. One, if not two. It's an incredible, incredible offensive line class this year. Since you tuned in, we'll give you some of the names. We got Big Joe Alt, dang near all 6'9", goddamn, of him, out of Notre Dame. You know, probably one of the overall cleanest prospects in this class right there with Marvin Harrison Jr., those types of guys. Measurables perfect. Tape looks perfect. Production was awesome at Notre Dame. Not a ton of holes. The guys, whoever drafts this guy, is going to be expecting a Pro Bowl level player pretty much right off the bat. Other guys that are looked at as easy day one starters, a guy who can play outside or inside, Troy Fountainow, out of Washington. Projected as a real fine starter offensive tackle, projected as possibly a year one Pro Bowler at guard. So fantastic there. Talisi Fuaga out of Oregon State. Man, he ain't going to be there for the Niners, but he's one of my dream players for the Niners. That guy, when it's very rare that you can watch a game and see and you can pick out, like, that's the stud offensive lineman. But you could regularly watch Oregon State and see Fuaga just absolutely dominating people at the point of attack. Awesome, nasty streak. He's just chip off the old block. Reminds me of Penei Sewell so much. Love him, love him, love him as a prospect. Speaking of Penei Sewell, his cousin, Kingsley Suamata, out of Samiata, out of BYU, offensive tackle prospect, closer to where the 49ers are going to be picking, projected 25 to 35. Scored real high, all of the athletic numbers, 6'7", awesome tape, love him too. Just a ton of guys, and that's before you get into the J.C. Lathams of the world. That's before you get to a real, you know, Graham Barton, who played, you know, 100 snaps at every position on the line. Can start center, can fill in at tackle for you, can start at guard. Awesome guy. Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, moving up boards. The best center in the class, although maybe not if a team decides to move Graham Barton to that position. Jordan Morgan, the number 10 ranked guy in this class, but he's still an 87 aggregate score. Just absolutely phenomenal. And then you got Mr. All Potential himself, the All Potential team, Amarius Mims. Guys look out there looking like a superhero, barely any body fat on him, 6'7", jacked, did a great job at Georgia, ton of MTAP potential, only played 1 year. Another guy who people are kind of salivating if he could get into that Niners mold of a mobile offensive lineman, that zone blocking scheme they do out there, or any of the teams that run the Shanahan tree offense, the Rams, the Vikings, any of those teams would look phenomenal with Amarius Mims. Amazing class, Tay. Tell us what you want to talk about.
You covered a lot of guys. I like you said, Joe Alt, probably one of the best tackle prospects in a few years. 6'8", 320. Just off the gate, probably the most athletic lineman in the class, I would say. No holes really. Dominated all year at Notre Dame. That the guy you want, like, he'll definitely be the first tackle picked. He could be gone as early as 5. I'm a big fan of Amarius Mims, best right tackle in the class. Like, he's just 6'7", 340. Super strong, you know. Great run blocker. And people keep calling him raw. People keep calling him. I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I don't. I disagree with that. Olufashinu. I found out that's how you pronounce it. It's not Fashanu. Out of Penn State. Probably the second best left tackle. He'll go mid first round, maybe even earlier than that if a team needs it. His positional value. Great pass blocker. You know, again, another guy dominated at Penn State. Didn't really miss too many blocks. Like, a lot of these tackles are just so polished. Like, they're gonna help out a lot of teams. Like, it's, if you need a tackle, this is the draft for you. And on to the interior. Like you say, Graham Barton. The most versatile, 6'5", 315. Like you said, he could play any position on a line, which is exactly what teams want. You know, like, that's great to have. Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. You could play center. You could put him at right guard. And I feel like he'll just be just fine either way. And again, and a lot of these guys in this class are versatile too. There's not really too many people that only have one position. Like, I feel like a lot of these tackles with the shorter arms can go guard, and a lot of these interior guys can play multiple positions and aren't stuck to just one position, which makes you more draftable. Like, if you're willing to move over from center to guard, or even from tackle to guard, It just makes you more draftable. It makes more teams willing to bite on you because, you know, you offer more versatility. Yeah, and I like Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma too. Like, that's another guy I think he'll be pretty good. Ran that zone.
He's been mocked to the Niners a lot.
Yeah. On my mock draft, that's exactly what I had. That's exactly what I did. Yeah. He fits the Shanahan kind of the zone offense. One thing about going to Oklahoma is if you're on the line, it's easy for you. It's easy for you, and it's kind of like you have guard help on the inside. So really, all you do is just, you know, you just contain the outside, and you know, and the guard has your inside. So it was pretty easy for him. And I think with the right coaching, you know, I think he could come in and be a fine blocker. He could play left tackle and right tackle. Again, it's just great to see these linemen with versatility, and they, you know, and they can play both sides or even guard to tackle at a high level. So I'm a big fan of this O-line class.
That's what I like about Amarius Mims too, is you know, a lot of people say seasoning, experience. But to me, that's like, okay, we can plug him in at right tackle right now. And then when Trent Williams moves on in a few years, he can swing over and he could be a legit left tackle as well. And so that's right up there. Axe, any thoughts on the big boys, the real important players on the field of an NFL football game?
I think I don't want to mispronounce the name, Fontanu.
Fontanu.
I think he'll probably be the best lineman because the complex offense that Washington ran, I feel like his versatility, I feel like he'll be the best one out of this class. It usually drafting a lineman high usually doesn't go wrong in recent history, and it's essential, especially since they go for so much on the free agent market. So you'll be smart to draft a lineman high. Like, nobody will judge you at all to do that, especially if you have a franchise quarterback.
We've had no better examples the last few years. You know, the Niners, what was their downfall? Their pass protection. The Chiefs, what was the primary thing that they attacked to fix when they lost the Super Bowl? Their pass protection. What is the engine that the Lions are plugged into that makes them go? It's the fantastic pass protection. We see it over and over again be the crucial game changer. And especially in today's league, where overall pass protection and offensive line play is at an all-time low, having it be strong and having invested in it is a huge advantage and a huge difference maker, especially as you make deep playoff runs. It pretty much runs things. I mean, the offensive line for the Chiefs is one of the better ones. They went against the Niners, who had one of the worst ones, and it was pretty much the difference in the game. And then, obviously, you know, all of the things that Burrow and the Bengals have gone through, trying to strengthen up that pass pro for him. Tate, do you got a favorite player out of this group?
Definitely, Amarius Mims. Gotta be my favorite player. I just love this size. Like, he's definitely the biggest tackle. 6'7", 340. Like, and yeah, like he just has so much potential. Like, I like that in the prospect. I think and where he's mocked, he'll probably go to a good team. Like, he might go in the 20s to those the teams that lost in the divisional or wild card. So yeah, I just think that'd be perfect. I really like that situation for him. Like, that's definitely my favorite lineman out of everyone, for sure. Just off of his size alone, like, he just looks like he's just the biggest guy out there. I think that's pretty cool.
There's some thoughts, some rumors that the Niners might move up to get him. Do you think that'd be an excellent move, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best right tackle in the class. So, and I mean, I need it. So
yeah, right tackle with left tackle potential. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Axe, is a Fautanu your favorite, or you got somebody else too?
It's the main person that I'm thinking of.
Driving people into the dirt for Washington. 100%. All right. The other side, only slightly less near and dear to my heart, only because, you know, the offensive linemen don't get nearly the publicity they deserve. Defensive linemen get lots of publicity. So, but played this spot too. Love me some defensive linemen. It's interesting at the top because Latu out of UCLA is looked at as, you know, pretty far grade wise and production wise and measurables wise as the best prospect in the class. Major concerns, though. Guy broke his neck, was told he doesn't ever play again. It's one thing when a guy like Mike Williams comes back and he plays the receiver where you can kind of protect him, but Latu is on the defensive line. I'm not touching it if I'm that GM. But I'll hear arguments against to the contrary. It's a broken neck, man. Like, that's, and you're on the defensive line. Tay, thoughts on the top prospect on the board, and who else do you like in this class?
I think Latu. I think the Falcons should take him at 8. I mean, why not? I think so. That's the best edge. That's the best edge to me. Like, he reminds me a lot of Jalen Phillips. Like, because Jalen Phillips had a lot of medicals coming in, and it did take him a little bit, but and he got hurt again this season. But Jalen Phillips, when he was on the field, he's been great. And that's what he reminds me of a lot.
No Dallas Turner for the Falcons then, huh?
Nah, I think he's my edge rusher too.
Okay.
He's my edge rusher too. Yeah. Dallas Turner is good. He's my edge rusher too. Like, I just think day one, Latu is just the better guy. Dallas Turner, probably the fastest, most agile in the draft, has the most bend, which GMs and coaches love, you know, so he'll win off the edge a lot. That's his go-to move, you know, obviously, just beating you with speed on the outside, beating these slow tackles. They can't keep up.
My issue with Dallas Turner is the weight. And, you know, you would think by itself, you're like, oh, you separate it from the measurables, you separate it from the tape, you separate it from the... But the thing is, I got into this, and I wish I would have I'd have been able to look at it this year, but I got into it last year regarding Smith off of Georgia.
When he was going to go Smith. To
Nolan mm-hmm. Smith. He was going to go to the Eagles. You know, he was like 243. And I looked it up. And I looked up the NFL sack leaders from that year. Do you know how far I had to get to find a single guy that was under the weight of 247 on the NFL sack numbers?
You probably had to go pretty far.
51.
Yeah.
It's just right. And like, you would think, you know, the league is getting lighter and faster every single year. It is what it is. Like, I understand, but I'm just not a fan. I'm a big proponent of historical data and empirical data. And yeah. I'm just not, you know, you do you want to be the person who thinks you're going to be that outlier? So if you're pinning that many hopes on a guy that's that light and he's among those players, you're really going to take a top 10 pick. Same thing with Bryce Young. Like, okay, I like the tape. I get what you're saying, but it's literally never happened before. That guy that weight and that height has been successful. So do you want to be the person rolling the dice that high on a physical outlier profile of something that's never happened before? I personally don't, but you said you'd like Latu over Dallas Turner.
So. Yeah, but I think Dallas Turner is second. Like, it's just I think his speed will help him a lot. Like, he's just going to have to beat tackles off the ball. Like, no bull rush. No, he's going to have to beat him off the ball. You know, just have like these fast finesse moves. Like, I think it could work. Like, I don't know if he'll be like this. Actually, nah. I think he has Pro Bowl potential to me. Like, I just think he just needs to use the speed. That's gonna make him different from all the other guys. I think 4.46, like, he's faster than wide receivers. Like, I think of like Montez Sweat. I know he's not the same height as Montez Sweat, but how Montez Sweat wins off the ball. Montez Sweat is faster than every tackle. And I think with athleticism like that and with speed, with 4.46 speed as an edge.
Do you know what Nolan Smith's numbers were last year with 4.3?
Yeah, I think he ran even better than that. Yeah, but Nolan Smith didn't really get the clock like I think Dallas Turner will. Because they already had, you know.
There's a reason you don't know Nolan Smith's fucking stats, because they're fucking non-existent.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he didn't play. Yeah, I get that. But
Dallas Turner did weigh in at 9 pounds heavier. Maybe that, you know, he's just above that outlier of 245. He's at 247. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Nolan Smith was always developmental. I think Dallas
top 20. Top 20 is a big, big value, big thing, big amount of resources to sink into somebody.
For the Eagles specifically, all their rookies are developmental. Like, they don't need to. This year, they do need to draft rookies that need to come in immediately. But I think last year, they were in position to draft the rookie and just have them, like, you know, just develop. And that's why I think Nolan Smith pick was okay. And I think Dallas Turner is a little. I think he is the better prospect. Like, Dallas Turner just has to win off of his athleticism, just his speed. But I like Jared Verse. He kind of fell. He definitely fell because at one point, I feel like before a college season, Jared Verse was first edge rusher off the board. But I don't know.
It's weird because the way people talk about him, it's like he didn't do anything, but fucking guy had 9 sacks. I mean,
18 sacks in 2 years.
Yeah.
Considering he's injured in multiple games, too.
That's plenty for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he ran a 4.5. And he's versatile. His bend off the edge is crazy. His first step is crazy. It's going to translate.
Yeah. But him, though, I think his go-to move, he's probably going to win off of bull rushes. Like he's a power kind of edge rusher. So I guess don't think he will be able to overpower tackles. I mean, some edge rushers like Aiden Hutchinson, his go-to move, he likes to spin and he likes to bull rush. I think Jerry Verse can be okay, like, especially on a good D-line with others. You know, like, I think Jerry Verse could definitely eat off of that.
If he's in the 20s, I want the Ravens to take him.
Over tackle or wide receiver?
Nah, we need a tackle and wide receiver, but I'm just saying, you know how the Ravens do.
I got to pick 30. I'm
going to be the best player available, huh?
You saying
trade? I don't know. I don't know if Jared Verse is still going to be there at that point.
I'm saying by chance. That's what happened with Kyle Hamilton.
That's true. That is true. He was no way he was supposed to still be there.
Yeah.
Hey, best player available. We need another edge because as far as Ravens concerned, Oway and Ojabo, they haven't done the job.
Yeah, that's true.
Just about to get to that because we have another Penn State measurables but no stats guy this year in Chop Robinson. And I was going to ask how you felt about that prospect, given that you are currently suffering under the regime of terror of another Penn State guy, Oway, who you know, measured out great but came in with barely any stats. That's another thing I'm a real big proponent of. If the guy is going to be so good at getting sacks, then why didn't he get any? You know, so I wasn't a fan of that pick. Not a fan of Chop Robinson as a prospect. What do you think, Axe?
Yeah, Chop, like, looking at his numbers and seeing how he was a third-ranked in PFF, I'm not really understanding. He only had 4 sacks, what, in 2 or 3 years?
It's more than sacks, though. Like, it's more than sacks with edge rushers. It's pressures. It's, you know, like, it's stuff like
that. Edge and, yeah,
6 in 3 years, though?
I mean, you know, like, it sounds bad, but, like, again,
it is bad.
Yeah, but, like, there's cases at every position. There's guys that don't do much in college but excel in the NFL. Like, that happens the time. And I don't look at college stats. Like, me personally, that doesn't matter to me as much if you have the athleticism and you have the technique and whatnot. That doesn't really matter to me, like, about, you know, guys like that. Yeah, I get the whole sacks thing, but I think pressures are more important, honestly, because you're making a quarterback throw the ball. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I honestly think pressures are just more valuable. But
who do you like in this class, Axe, out of the defensive line?
I also like Trice from Washington. It's a lot of quality edges, but like I said, Latu, I think I understand you're concerned about the neck injury. I think he'll be impactful, though.
Yeah. I think as long as he's out there, he will be. I have so much of a concern. I just don't know if I'm going top 10 for a guy who you can kind of expect on any given play. He might be gone, you know.
Sometimes you might have to take that risk, though.
Yeah.
For a game changer, you got to take that risk sometimes.
Because he was phenomenal at UCLA. Like, just no two ways about it. Great stats, great tape. Top 10 is somebody who I want to have around for a decade if it's me. So, and it's a big, big, big question mark. How do you guys feel about Brock Bowers? speaking of clean prospects, is he going to be a Sam Laporta or a TJ Hockenson, or is he going to be a OJ Howard? Because you remember once upon a time, OJ Howard was the greatest tight end prospect in the history of all known civilization, and he has done fuck all in the NFL. So is Brock Bowers going to be OJ Howard, or is he going to be Sam Laporta, Tay?
I think Brock Bowers is a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
I think so. Like, in my dynasty league, I'm drafting him. I got Travis Kelce. Okay. He's 72 years old. I'm drafting Brock Bowers. But I think just when you watch him, for those who haven't watched him, when you watch him, he just looks like a wide receiver, especially after he catches the ball. When he catches the ball,
absolutely.
He doesn't run like tight ends. And they catch the ball, they run for 5 yards, and they get chopped in their knees, and then that's it. Or they jump. Brock Bowers will take the ball upfield, and that is a rare trait. Like, I feel like a lot of tight ends, they catch it, they find like contact, and that's it. They don't like try to extend it and take it to the next. Brock Bowers, if it's there, Brock Bowers will catch a short pass and he will take it all the way. That's what I think. Brock Bowers is just different. Like, I haven't really seen that from a tight end like that, especially in the past few years. Like, I think if you need a guy, impact guy, year one, you got to take Brock Bowers. I think he's like way better than the next.
Yeah, the full route tree is available. You're right. He's what I've heard him say, he's one of the most efficient runners that people have ever seen after the catch. Like, mm-hmm. knows what to do with the ball, runs away from everybody. Great. And then, yeah, obviously great hands in that Georgia offense really flowed through him quite a bit. So looking at the draft order, where do you think, how far does he make it?
Jets. I think shouldn't go past the Jets. So I think the Jets have pick number 10, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they have 10. He shouldn't go past the Jets. It wouldn't make any sense. Like, the Jets, I would say the Jets need a tight end. I mean, I think the Jets fans would say they need a tight end. Like, you look at that, you got Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Breece Hall, Mike Williams, and Brock Bowers. No spoilers, but, you know, and I was big on the Jets last year. I'm going to be big on the Jets
again. Oh, no. Just letting y'all
know. Yeah, I think Brock Bowers is just that special. He's one of the best tight end prospects I've seen, and I actually do believe it will translate.
Well, looking at the board, you would think that Vikings would go quarterback. You'd think Broncos would be in the late, in the mix for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Las Vegas took Michael Mayer. He's pretty good. Maybe the Saints at 14.
They gotta go tackle. They gotta
go tackle. So it's an interesting look because, well, maybe Seattle. Maybe Seattle at 16. Or the Colts at 15, little baby blanket for Anthony Richardson. It gets interesting after if he doesn't go to, say, the Titans, the Giants, the Jets. I think you're right, though. The Jets look like the
there's no way
like the most obvious landing place right there.
Huh?
So didn't Waller retire?
No, Waller is on the Giants.
Oh,
yeah, he said he was thinking about it, but now he's still on the Giants.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, I think Brock Bowers is better than him right now. So, I mean, you know,
I mean, Darren Waller don't play, so
yeah,
automatically. X, thoughts on Brock Bowers?
Bowers is definitely going to be a Laporta type, come in immediate impact. Like Tay said, he looks like a receiver as soon as he catches it. Great route runner, great hands. Just the breakaway speed. I would be stunned. He's like a can't-miss prospect to me. I'll be stunned if it didn't work out for him. Like, stunned.
Okay.
Stover's a good tight end, too, from Ohio State. He's not Brock Bowers, but I feel like you can get good value from him in the late rounds. Jaheim Bell, he's a pretty good tight end for Florida State. He's more so of a receiving tight end, though. He's not really.
Because he can't block at all. Well, yeah. I do agree with that. I'm glad you said receiving tight end because he cannot block.
It's not strong suit.
Yeah.
But Stover on Ohio State, I think he's tight end number two.
Oh, really?
I wonder if the Bengals got enough to make a move up and maybe get some Brock Bowers. Wouldn't that be fucking filthy? So the a guy who's number two on a lot of boards, Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. 6'4", 245, low 4'6", 40. Does the things that you want an NFL tight end to do. Yeah, 4'6", excuse me. Does the things that an NFL tight end you want him to do, kind of built in the new school mold of a little bit on the small side, but fast, can catch. Fairly productive, have 600 yards both his last 2 years. Any thoughts or feels on Jatavion Sanders out of Texas? Pretty much the only other guy that's getting real like publicity out of this class as far as the tight end position goes. Tay.
I think Jatavion Sanders, I think he's a second round kind of prospect. Like,
still pretty high.
Yeah, it is. It is. It definitely is. 6'4", 245, you know, decent size. Not the best run blocker, but I feel like that can be coached within him a few years because he's not old. He's only in college for 3 years. You know, he's not a six-year triple senior. Great hands. I don't think he had many drops. Maybe like a few, but yeah, not many drops. Decent route runner. Again, like stuff like that can be worked on. Tight ends don't really require great route running if you know how to maneuver. Like, if you watch tight ends, it doesn't really look pretty. Like, a lot of times they don't win. They just get there, like, if you know what I mean. Like,
Oh, yeah. Travis Kelce is the fucking master of that.
He's not cooking people, like, making them
he's
fall.
He's just out there. He's just out there doing them dad routes on people.
I think that's what Jatavion Sanders is. Like, he's one of them guys. Like, he's not going to make you fall off the ball, off the line of scrimmage. But when the play develops, he will be open. Like, it's just something that comes, like, it's kind of hard to explain. But, yeah, I think if you need a tight end, need an impact, draft Jatavion Sanders in the second round.
Anybody else stand out to you, Axe? You were going over some guys. Who else do you like in this tight end group?
Ben Sinop's pretty good. Kansas State. He's pretty solid. Those are the main ones I'm familiar with, to be honest with you.
Yeah, not a super deep tight end class, honestly. But the top end, obviously, like we said, Brock Bowers. Very, very interesting. One of the most heralded tight end prospects in a long time. I mean, you had Kyle Pitts some years back. Returns on that have been up and down, but I think a lot of that has to do with scheme and what they were doing down there. I think everybody expects a big Kyle Pitts renaissance this year with old Kirky boy down there. And no time to waste Raheem down there with the coach. So I think a lot of people are expecting, you know, I don't think that Raheem Morris is going to be down there trying to fucking outsmart everybody like Arthur Smith was. Like, hey, get the ball in the hands of my playmakers. Let me coach this defense. We need to get fucking wins. And I fully support and hope that works out for them. So things used to be a death sentence. The highly heralded tight end prospect. Now, maybe not as much. We've seen a little bit of movement on that. And now, like we said, we've seen Brock Bowers coming up. I think he has a lot of potential to be that guy. We hope that we are your number one prospect for sports media, for your NFL draft coverage, for your NBA coverage, definitely for your United Football League coverage, as we put a wraparound show out for the United Football Media Group every Monday, 9 o'clock. We recap the week in the United Football League. We just did our first 1,000 listen our 1,000 view video this week. Amazing stuff. We're doing big things over there. So please jump in with that on this. We got hoops. Things are going to get real hot on the Hooping and Hollering podcast coming up real soon because the playoffs are heating up. We've got these matchups now. Things are going to get real, real intense. We did our year-end awards this last week. So definitely jump in on that. Check that out. See what we thought MVP, Rookie of the Year, and the projected trajectory of some of those players. Football Fridays, obviously, we're going to be doing a lot of great draft coverage. And man, this week's Week in Wrestling is going to be very, very interesting. So definitely check all that out. We're coming at you every other day. Going strong. This is DAR Sports Media, and our world never stops.